Okay, good evening, everyone. I'm sorry, last night we had some technical difficulties, actually a couple of nights. I hope they won't repeat themselves, but maybe I'll just repeat myself a little bit what I said at the end. I think there was a request for that. We just basically capped off the discussion of Amir La'akum. And in doing so, I just pointed out that it's kedai to remember that when it comes to matters of well-being, physical well-being, medical issues, that if a person who's in the category of a chole, person who's legitimately ill, although not a sakana, there's nothing life-threatening whatsoever about the situation, but they're ill. They have the flu is the example you always give. They're bedridden and they're feeling, not feeling well at all, and their whole body is achy, and they have to lie down. So the halach is you're allowed to ask, in those circumstances, they can ask a non-Jew to help them in any way, to do any malach or anything for them that will help them bring about greater comfort, pain relief, or anything that will, for their well-being or comfort. It's a mutter to ask a non-Jew to do, even if it's a malach deraisa, even to cook for them. Let's say their person has the flu and they really would like some hot chicken soup. So you could have a non-Jew in the Jew's kitchen, take the, under being supervised, but take the kosher chicken from the Jew's freezer and cook a piece of chicken or cook a piece of, a freshly cooked chicken and serve the chicken, serve the soup, whatever it is. And even though that's something which during the week would be usher because of Bishul Akum, for a chola on Shabbos, that's waived. Since a Jew can cook for them, or even the case of chola sheyesh b'sakana, with theoretically a Jew could cook, but it's preference to have a goy cook to do malacha. So there's no isser of Bishul Akum on Shabbos for a chola. Okay, but anyway, so the point is that therefore I mentioned that if a person shouldn't be quick to turn to a Jew for help if they're not in a situation of sakana or safek sakana. And although, Hatzalah is Baruch Hashem available and ready and able to help, but the role of Hatzalah on Shabbos, the role of Hatzalah is for cases of where there's either a clearly sakana or a suffix possibility of sakana. But when it's not that, then one should rather call for the services of a non-Jew if one has to go to a hospital or a doctor or something for a situation which is not sakana, clearly not sakana. They should go with a non-Jewish driver. Okay, so I want to move on now to the area called Maisa Shabbos. Maisa Shabbos means that in the event that a Jew did something on Shabbos which was not permissible, if a Jew did a malacha on Shabbos, so the halacha is that there are restrictions as to how or whether or not they could benefit from it, and at what point they could benefit from it, etc. It's called something that's done on Shabbos be'isra. It's called Maisa Shabbos. Maisa was created, it was done on Shabbos, and it was done on Shabbos when it wasn't allowed to be done on Shabbos. So the Gemara brings actually three shitos in the Tanoim, Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Meir. The way the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that if a malacha was done on Shabbos, we're talking about now a malacha d'orais, something which would normally be asur min ha-Torah, or something which is asur min ha-Torah, and a person went ahead and did it on Shabbos, so whether they did it b'mezid or b'shogeg, either way, no one is allowed to benefit from it, not them and not anyone else, for the duration of Shabbos. For the duration of Shabbos, since it was done b'isser, and it's a doraisa, so whether it was done b'mezid or b'shogeg, the halacha is that nobody is allowed to benefit for it the duration of Shabbos. In the mezit is still more severe in that if it was done b'mezit, meaning if the person who did it knew what he was doing, he knew that it's usser, and he understood that it's Shabbos, and it's usser to do this on Shabbos, and he did it nonetheless, then the halacha is that that person himself is never allowed to benefit from it. It's usser for them olamis. They're never allowed to benefit from it, even after Shabbos. But others, people that it wasn't done for, they could benefit from it after Shabbos. But on Shabbos itself, nobody could benefit from it. That's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. And that's what we follow under normal circumstances. The Vilna Gaon paskins different than the Shulchan Aruch in this matter. The Shulchan Aruch's psak is following the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. The Vilna Gaon on his commentary in Shulchan Aruch paskins like Rabbi Meir, who holds that if it was done b'shogeg, then you could benefit from it even on Shabbos. If it was done b'mezid, if the person who did it knew that it was usher and he did it anyway, then Rabbi Meir also holds that you can't benefit from it, nobody could benefit from it on Shabbos itself. However, Rabbi Meir disagrees in the case of shogeg. Rabbi Meir disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda in the case of shogeg, and paskins that, and Rabbi Meir holds that if it was done b'shogeg, then one could, even the person themselves or anybody else, could benefit from it even on Shabbos itself. And as I said, that's how the Vilna Gaon paskins. So the Mishnah Berurah writes that although we follow, typically, in the majority of cases, we are going to follow the ruling of the Shulchan Aruch, which is the more stringent ruling in this matter, that it's us, even if it was done b'shogeg, you still can't benefit from it till after Shabbos. But in cases where there's a significant need, then one could rely on the ruling of the Vilna Gaon, who paskins like Rabbi Meir, that if it was done b'shogeg, you could benefit from it even on Shabbos itself. Now, I mean, the majority of the cases that we will encounter will be cases of shogeg. I mean, hopefully we're not, you know, typically not, associating ourselves for the most part with people that are flagrant mechalei Shabbos, that they know it's usser and they don't care. They do it anyway. The mezid, that's not usually the situation. That isn't to say it will never happen. But that the more common situation where we run into shilas of Maisa Shabbos is shogeg. Somebody wasn't aware that something is usser, and he went ahead and did it, and then he comes to his attention that it's usser. And so then the question is, could he benefit from it? So as I said, the halacha typically is that he cannot. The ruling of the Shulchan is he cannot. But that's what the Mishnah Berurah says, that in a case where there's a significant need, a serious need for it, so there is room to rely on the more lenient ruling of the Vilna Gaon, paskins like Rabbi Meir, that it would be mutter b'shogeg. Now, okay, this is all for, as I said, if a person violates a deraisa, if a person violates something which is only usher midrabbanan, then in the case of shogeg, we will agree that you could benefit from it, even if it's, you know, not the most pressing of circumstances. But again, what the person did was, at the worst, it was only usher midrabbanan, and they weren't even aware it was usher. When they did it, they weren't aware that they were doing something usher. Or shogeg could also mean, it could be they forgot. That's also shogeg. They forgot it Shabbos. Doesn't happen that much that way, but it could be that way. A case like that might be a person wakes up in the morning, or maybe wakes up in the middle of the night, and he's a little disoriented, and he forgets the Shabbos, and he, I don't know, reaches over and does something. Hopefully, by the time climbs out of bed and goes, you know, goes into the kitchen or wherever, he'll remember Shabbos. But sometimes when Imamish just woke up, he might not remember Shabbos, and I guess it's not that much malach. Well, maybe the case would be he turned on the light. Maybe there's a lamp that he could reach from his bed, and he woke up in the middle of the night, and Imamish forgot at Shabbos. I'm not referring to a case where a person walks into the bathroom on Shabbos and just habitually flips the switch. That's different. That's, Well, arguably it's different. Perhaps not. Perhaps that would also be shogging. In fact, I think that would be. I know there are those that want to say that that's even less than shogging, but simply understood, that would also be shogging. They forgot. Okay, meaning they forgot. I mean, they didn't stop and think about it, but they just acted out of rote, forgetting that it's Shabbos, obviously, because had they been conscious of the fact that it's Shabbos, they wouldn't have done that. So that could be a case. A person walks in and just forgets for a second, or forgets that he can't do this, or the case I gave, those would be cases where we'd say, okay, even though it's done b'shogeg, you still should not benefit from it. But if there'd be some sort of, you know, a pressing need, there would be room to rely on it. But that's by d'oraisa. So if a person, something which is only us or midrabbanan, and they did a b'shogeg, then in all cases, we would let them rely on it. So I'll just mention the case that the Shulchan Aruch discusses is the case of cooking. I'm a vashel b'Shabbos. That's the case the Gemara talks about. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch talks about. One who cooked something on Shabbos, cooked food on Shabbos. So if it was done intentionally, knowing that it's Shabbos and it's usher to do it, and they did it anyway, it's usher till after Shabbos. And for the person who did it, it's usher forever. But if it was done b'shogeg, so we will also paskin that it's usher. Because since we paskin like Rabbi Meir, like Rabbi Yehuda, since we follow the Shulchan Aruch Pesach Rabbi Yehuda, we will also say it's usher to benefit from it till after Shabbos. After Shabbos, even the one who did it could benefit because he was shogeg, but not on Shabbos. But as I said, if the person, if it's the Yitzarech Gadol for the food, for some reason, the person didn't realize what they were doing is usher. Or maybe it wasn't outright bishul. They didn't go over to the stovetop and put a pot on the fire. But maybe they put some raw food into a hot pot, a kli rishon, which we learned going back a few months ago, a hot pot, which is even off the fire, but it's, you know, steaming hot water. So putting raw food into that is also an issur d'oraisa. Cooking in a kli rishon is also an issur d'oraisa. So let's say a person would do that. He didn't realize that. He thought that once the pot's off the fire, then you're allowed to put something in. And he went ahead and put something in it, and it changed. It had the hot water had an effect on it, and he made some, maybe he put some, maybe a person made a cup of tea that way, let's say. Person didn't know, Mamsh didn't know the halacha. He took a kettle off the fire, and he put some tea bags into the kettle, dropped some tea bags into the kettle, which l'chora is an issa d'oraisa, because it's a kli rishon mamish, and the tea bags are raw tea, and he has a pot of tea. So he did it. Then someone asked him, "What did you do?" Someone tells him, "Well, you do it. That's cooking. Mamish cooking in a Torah. We don't even use tea bags in a kli sheni, and many don't even use in a kli shlishi. But a kli rishon, mamish, the kettle that came off the fire, that's an issa d'oraisa." And he says, "I'm sorry. I wasn't thinking. I didn't realize. I mean, maybe if I thought about it, I would have realized. I would have maybe asked the Shaila, but I don't know. It didn't really occur to me. I never realized that it's really so serious, so that you can't do it. I know there's a whole tumult about using tea, not using tea. I thought it's okay." So he said, "No, it's not okay. According to anybody, it's not okay. But lemaisu is shogeg. So normally we say, okay, you can't use that tea till after Shabbos. If somehow we could imagine there would be a tzorech gadol for the tea, maybe a chola who really needs a cup of tea, or whatever it is, it's a tzorech gadol, there would be malkum to rely on the Vilna Gaon and allow it." Okay, we'll try to go on with it and try to give some, talks about some practical, more practical cases and examples and applications of these halachas, Bez Hashem, in the upcoming Shir or Shirim. Take care, everyone. Have a good night. All the best. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.